Look at them. We're going to open with a quick word of prayer, and then our kids group is going to sing. These are kids from over in our kids ministry, and they had part in our VBS a couple weeks ago, and they're going to sing a song they learned at VBS. But before they do, Gavin Rosso, why don't you come with me? And I asked Gavin if he would open us in a word of prayer today. Gavin went to teen camp here a couple weeks ago, and thankful for him and his family. So he's going to pray for us. Kids, you pray with him, too, and then after he prays, the kids are going to sing for us.
Good morning. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for a beautiful Sunday, and thank you for giving us the ability to come into your house and worship you today. Help us listen to your word and learn, and gifting us freedom to worship you in this country. Help us grow with you, Lord, and touch someone's heart today. Be with Pastor James as he delivers your word today. Be with those who can't be here and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I think we should have had them stay up here and have everybody else try to join them in those hand motions. I'm afraid some of us might get injured if we do that, but no, they did a great job. And kids, you guys can head back and sit with your parents too, except if you went to junior camp, and some of you already know, if you went to junior camp, I want you to sit in a group right here behind Mr. Drew, and everybody else can head back to your parents. Now, today's service is going to be a little different. Our kids are going to stay with us in the service today, and we're thankful for that. They bring a life and youth to us, and so we're excited about that. We're going to sing a couple songs, a couple hymns. We're going to ask them to sing along. I like having the kids in the room so they can sing along with us. But those that went to junior camp, a good group of them, they're going to wait right here. And in just a couple minutes, we'll hear from them. We have a video from Vacation Bible School, and a couple of testimonies. A couple of these young men are going to help us read a passage of Scripture in a minute, so we're thankful for that too. Well, you just settle in. We'll enjoy our time together. Go ahead and stand if you would. Stand, and we're going to sing a couple songs together. Oh, how I love Jesus. A couple songs kids may be able to help us with too. But let's start by praising the Lord together, all of us together. Amen. Amen. And you can be seated this morning. Our text in just a little while is going to tell us that from Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Exalt His name together. And that's our goal this morning. We want to exalt the Lord together. All of us, young and old, all in between. So we're thankful for that. I want you to take, if you would, before I forget, because we'll get busy and I'll forget. I want you to look at a couple things in our bulletin, some announcements. It's a busy bulletin today with quite a few things upcoming in the next few weeks. I just want to draw your attention to it, and then we're going to spend some time hearing from some of our young people in the next few minutes. But if you would, look at your bulletin on the back. There you see our missionaries to pray for this week. And I want to congratulate our kids. We are working toward this together. You see there's the Sarati Orphan Assistance Program, and Carrie Phillips is kind of our contact there in the orphanage, and they work with a number of other churches that are there, and one particular Baptist church that's there. But we're thankful for that ministry. But our kids that went to VBS, if you went to Vacation Bible School at our church, all right, kids, I want you to stand for just a second. Everybody stand. If you came to Vacation Bible School at our church a couple weeks ago, you can stand. A couple of them are out of town. Well, good, good. Now, I want you to notice it says our Vacation Bible School program raised more than $350 for that orphan assistance program last week. I think we should give them a round of applause. They did a good job. They did a good job. You can be seated. You can be seated. There might have been a little bit of incentive there for them, for teams that were competing against each other. They did a loose change offering, and some of them didn't bring change. They brought dollar bills in, and they bought tokens and put them in there and went back and forth. But Drew did a good job with running VBS, let them know at the beginning of the week what it was going toward. And I had several of our young people throughout the week ask in particular about that missions ministry and ask a little bit about it. And I'm thankful for their part in that. They did a good job helping with that as well. Then you see some things upcoming in our church and in our school ministry, a number of things over the next few weeks. We have canvassing and outreach next Saturday. All through this week, there's a couple of different ways that we could use some help, and I'll show you those in a second. You see some things coming up in October, in August, September, all the way down through part of October. And so mark your calendars. Not everybody has participated in each one of those, but participate in each one that you can. And each of them have a different focus, and so we're thankful for those ministries. Make sure you're ready to take part in that. Then there's a couple ways we could use some help this week and kind of moving forward. You see those there. We have quite a group that comes out each year. Our teachers for our Christian school start back tomorrow for teacher in-service and training and in the morning. And then we help them. We have people volunteer come in and help them. The quizzes, tests, and workbook pages for the whole year for most of our classes, they all come in an individual little book. And so each student has a book that has all their quizzes and tests for each subject. And that's a lot of pages. And so we have a group that comes in. They tear those out. They help collate them. And so the teacher can just go to their cabinet and grab quiz one or test two, whatever it is, throughout the year. And it saves the teacher hours throughout the year having to go in and tear each of those out. So if you can help with that, well, as soon as we're done, we'll just be done with it. But it usually takes a few days. And so if you can come to school any day this week, we'll start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they have a good time just fellowshipping and talking and a number of things that happen throughout that. And around midday, sometimes a little later, they'll take a break and come back the next day. And so you can jump in at any time this week that you have that opportunity, that you have that availability. And then we have two large loads of mulch on the playground this week, and we need to spread those out in different places. And in the morning, we have we got to repair a tire on a tractor. That'll make it a little easier for everybody. But if you have some time this week that you can come in any time of day and help spread out, we'll try to dump a lot of that. We just rake it out, spread it out, and so that the playground's ready for the school year. We could use help with that from anybody that's able to do that. If you just coordinate with myself or the office tomorrow, we'll let you know what kind of day, so you're not here by yourself. Hopefully, we could do it to where there's several people working on it at once. And then you see some long-term help that's needed with some of the mowing and trimming. I have a couple of different people that are willing to volunteer with that, but we'd love to spread that out. So if you're good with a mower, like to sit on a lawnmower, or trimming, either one, we're going to try to split that up a little bit, share some of the responsibility and load with that. So moving forward throughout the rest of this season, that would be a big help if anybody can jump in and help with that. I'm thankful for it. If you would, I was going to say, you can have your Bible ready in a minute, and we'll look at Psalm 34 in a minute, but we're not just there just yet. We got a couple microphones, I think, here as well. Here's the junior campers that are here. Why don't you guys stand? That'll let everybody get comfortable. Now you can turn around and look at them, wave at everybody else, realize they're just as funny looking as you are, and so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be nervous. No, you can be seated. I'm thankful for each one of these. I had a good group that went to junior camp. Thankful for them. And so what I'm going to do for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to give them an opportunity. We have a couple of our teenagers that went to teen camp too, and thankful for them. But anybody that went to junior camp, we're going to ask them just a couple simple questions. Now, if they all just let loose and told you about the whole week, I'm sure some of your households, when they came back from junior camp, they talked about it quite a bit. And so if we just turn them all loose, sometime tomorrow morning, we'll finish our service. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to ask any of them that want to. You don't have to, but I'll bring a mic around. And if you just want to tell us maybe something that stood out to camp, it was one of your favorite things to do, something you enjoyed about camp, and then one lesson maybe that you learned from camp, or maybe a service or a devotional that stood out to you, something that you learned, you can share that with us and testify that with us. Our passage in a few minutes says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." And we want to do that together this morning. And so they're not scary people. You don't have to worry about them too much. But I'll start on one end and we'll see. Let's see. I'll grab one of these microphones. And if you want, you can say your name, what you enjoyed, something you enjoyed about camp, and then something you learned from camp. We'll start on this end. You want to start us? You want to start for us? Cool.
I really enjoyed the bitterness lesson because it just helped me to realize that everything people do to me, that I can forgive them, and I still need to be thankful for what God has done for me. And I really enjoyed the boys' bonfire.
Boys' bonfire. He clarified last night when he told me that it's not a bonfire for boys. The boys were at the bonfire, right? Good. Ellie.
I really enjoyed, one of my favorite things about camp was our counselor. She was really encouraging and kind and helpful this year. And one of my favorite lessons or things that I learned was our bitterness sermon, like my brother already said. And we talked about how God's the only judge. He's the only perfect, righteous judge. And I'm so thankful to be there for that lesson.
It's a good lesson as well. You want to say something for us?
Okay, so my favorite thing about camp was spending time with my church friends. And something I learned is how God died on the cross for us.
Yes, that's great.
So my favorite thing at camp was hanging out with my counselor and the other counselor that was in our cabin and all of the other girls. They were just very encouraging. And I really liked the sermon on do you pursue Jesus or does Jesus pursue you?
That's a good lesson too.
My favorite thing about camp was probably their ice cream shop.
Oh, and yes.
My favorite lesson was about how much God loves you.
Yeah. There's a lot of people's ears just perked up when you said ice cream shop. Next year, everybody's going to go to camp next year. Anybody else? You want to say one thing? You want to? Oh, Elijah.
My name is Elijah, and I really enjoyed playing with my friends and playing Gaga Ball and other games. And I really enjoyed the bitterness lesson because I didn't know how much bitterness I was holding on to and that I was being bitter against people and I didn't want to forgive them, but now I want to forgive them.
That's good. Anybody else? Yeah. We'll let her go and then you go, okay?
One thing that I learned from the camp was that the bitter lesson too, that it actually helped me a lot. And I had fun spending time with my counselor and the ice cream shop, stuff like that.
They must have good counselors and good ice cream is what it sounds like.
To be honest, I like everything about camp, but I like the most the food and the shops. And one thing that I learned, it stuck in my head, that living without Jesus is literally a living hell because Jesus is your Savior, and living without your Savior is impossible to have a good life.
That's a good lesson, too. Now, here's what I want you to do. Did I miss anybody? All right, I want you to stand up, and I just want you to look at everybody else for a second. I'm going to put you on the spot. You're a group. If they come after you, I think you guys would win, so they're not too scary. All right. How many of our adults, how many of you ever went to youth camp somewhere as a young person? Anybody? Yeah, a lot of hands raised. How many of you at youth camp, adults, made a decision for the Lord? Anybody? Yeah, I think we all did. How many of you adults made a decision for the Lord at camp, and then you've been sinless and perfect ever since then? Only Mr. Dowdy. Only Mr. Dowdy, all right? Now, how many of you as adults, you still struggle even after you make a spiritual decision for the Lord? At some point, you still struggle. Yeah, we all do. And so we as a church, we want to support you. And even throughout the year, camp's a wonderful thing where you learn about Jesus Christ. But we want to support you throughout the year. We have a couple other of our young people, Gavin, and then actually we have two Gavins here this morning that went to, yeah, there he is in the back. We had two Gavins that went to teen camp. You guys stand with me for a second. You can just stand there. We had two Gavins that went to teen camp. We had a couple others that went to junior camp, teen camp that aren't here this morning. But I want to have just a quick word of prayer for these young people. And would you pray with me now that God will help them learn? There's a lot of things in this world that want their attention and want their lives and want their souls. And we want to fight with them and fight for them. And so would you pray with me now for these young people? Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and for helping our church. Many of our adults and many of our families sacrificed to send these kids to camp. Many people gave even funds, not even knowing exactly who all the young people were that were going to camp. And Lord, I thank you for that. What a special privilege it is to team together for that. We praise you for it. And Lord, we pray for their souls and their minds. I thank you for the young lady that received Christ as her Savior at junior camp, and for the young lady that received Christ as her Savior at Vacation Bible School. And Lord, we praise you for them. I thank you for the spiritual decisions. Lord, it sounds like even hearing the young people, the lessons they learn from your word teach us that the truth that you have for them is the truth that you have for adults too. Lord, we struggle with bitterness and keeping our attention, our focus on following Christ, living our lives without Christ, and turning from you. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the good time that they have, but I also thank you that you gave them the opportunity to learn from your word, and for Vacation Bible School, our teen camp as well. So we pray for these young people. Lord, help us to support them, not just with programs and ministries, but with people, as people. Lord, help us to speak to them and mentor them and to love them and to provide a place that is safe for them to ask questions and to seek the Lord spiritually. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys can sit with your parents, except for those three guys. There's three guys that are going to help me read a verse in a minute, and you already know you are. So everybody else, you can go sit with your parents in a second. And, before we do that, Drew, you want to tell us a little bit about Vacation Bible School? You can do it from there if you like, but we really would all love to watch you scooter across here. He's pretty impressive, actually. But I want to thank Drew and Amy both. Many, many people volunteered and helped. But if you don't know, Drew was at one of our men's basketball nights a few weeks ago and tore his Achilles there. And it was an intense basketball game in that moment. He did it while he was dunking. It was impressive. he just jumped right over somebody. In the midst of all that, I told him, we'll do whatever we can to help or take that off of you and try. But he really, of course, he wanted to do all those things still too. But he powered through it, and I'm thankful for that. But many of you helped him. But I just publicly am very thankful for all he poured into it. You're going to see a video in a minute, but he's going to tell us a little bit about the week, introduce the video to us.
Is this one on? Okay, cool. So we do have a video we're going to show you guys in just a second. And a couple of things you'll see in the video, it's just all the things the kids did all week. They played some games. They had a craft time this year, which was new. I am not a very crafty person at all. I don't really even know how glue works half the time. But Michelle Adkins volunteered to do that for us, and that was really awesome because the kids loved that, and I'm terrible at crafts. And it went amazingly. At VBS, they had games that they played. Mrs. Sampson did some fun science lessons with them. She did some science object lessons, and we had, you know, explosions and beakers and chemicals and all those fun things. And they got to learn about God's word from science. That was really awesome. They had some really great snacks. Those were my favorite part of the week. I mean, it's like the kids going to camp. The favorite part is the snacks. It was great. And then we had some lessons from God's Word. Our theme this year was the road to Rome. So most all of our Bible lessons just came from the book of Romans, and we got to learn about what the Bible says there in the book of Romans. And then the last day, Pastor came and gave a lesson for the kids, and we invited all the parents of the kids to come out on that last day. We had over 60 kids attend VBS, and many of them brought their parents on that last day, and we invited them to lunch afterwards, and we had a giant spaghetti lunch in the cafeteria, and that was awesome to get to be a blessing to the parents as well as the kids. So we had over 60 kids, and we had over 30 volunteers. So those of you guys who volunteered, thank you for doing that. That was a huge blessing to definitely myself, because I can't really do much, not being able to do a lot with my Achilles. But you guys who came out and helped, that was awesome, and we're super thankful for that. We had Pastor mention one young lady who made a profession of faith, and from what I hear, I think we had one more who received assurance of her salvation that week. So that was awesome there too. And we really never know. Maybe there were other decisions that were made that they made in their heart, and we don't know about, but the Lord knows. And it was a really amazing week to sit back and watch what God did. And it was one of those things where I can look at it and I can say, well, that clearly wasn't me. I can't do much. That had to be the Lord. So that was really awesome there. And then we also had, you'll see in our video here too, if you've ever met Leonard before, he showed up for VBS, and that was really fun. Actually, that was my favorite part, not the snacks. Leonard was my favorite part. If you don't know who Leonard was, he'll show up in the video, so you'll see him there. But I think now we're ready to play our video.
Seated, and at this time I'm going to ask my three guys that are going to help me, if you would bring your Bible and come on up, and then we'll have one final song. We have a kids group that's here some on Wednesday nights that just kind of formed. Sometimes on Wednesday nights they get around the piano and somebody starts playing and the rest of them sing, and so they're going to sing in just a minute. And tell you what, if we can get you behind the pulpit and see you, we'll do that. In fact, you can stand there if you want. Everybody, if you would, turn your Bible to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And if you would, look there. We're going to start in verse 1. And I've divided these verses up. A few of our guys that went to junior camp. Sometimes we have some of our men help read a passage of Scripture. So they're going to help us with that this morning. Psalm 34. Elijah's going to do verses 1 through 7. Boston is going to do 8 through 14, and Barrett's going to do 15 through 19. All right, Elijah, you ready for us? Psalm 34, 1 through 7.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good, that trusteth in him. O taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth that desireth and love many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good, seek peace, and pursue it.
Thy eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord is delivereth him out of them all.
You did a good job. We'll finish those last three verses while they have a seat. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. We have one final song. As I mentioned a moment ago, it's kind of a group that just kind of naturally formed on Wednesday nights, and they just get together and sing. So I think Izzy's going to play the piano, and then the rest of them are going to sing. They're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision. Then we're going to look back at Psalm 34, just a part of it this morning. And my style might be a little different this morning in preaching with the kids in here today. I'll need some help in just a little while. I'm going to ask for a couple volunteers to help with an illustration. But we're glad. Aren't you glad we've had the kids in here this morning? I am. It's been a joy and a blessing to see them, be with them. And we want to do that together. I'm going to pray over our passage, then they're going to sing. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask that you'd help us to taste and see, all of us, from the oldest to the youngest, that we would all experience and know that you are good. And Lord, we get that, we sense that by trusting you, by seeking you, by fearing you. And so order and structure our lives. We thank you for your word, that it is good to all of us. It's not just for some of us. It's not just when we reach a certain age. Your word is good for all of us. And I thank you for this church and for their long-term, years-long commitment to young people. And Lord, we want to help train and teach and pass to the next generation to share your praises from one generation to the next. So we pray that you honor yourself in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thankful that the High King of Heaven has already won our victory, aren't we? That we can point our young people to Jesus Christ and say, you don't have to make it on your own. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to be perfect or sinless because someone's already been perfect and sinless for you. His name is Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for that. I want you to look at Psalm 34, if you would, in your Bibles, and be ready for a few different things. Now, I'm going to try to move this now. Don't be distracted by it. But if I spill it all now, I'd rather it be at the beginning than right in the middle. And so I'm going to put this here. Hopefully I'll remember it's there and not kick it over in a little while. And somebody asks if it's the Lord's Supper. It is not. There's cookies and grape Kool-Aid in there. So no, that's not what that is. Look, if you would, Psalm 34. And we're going to focus in the middle today. You know, the last few weeks we've been studying through Psalms. And kids, you haven't been in here, but we've been walking through Psalms the last few weeks. Your parents have and your families have. And we take a psalm and we look through it. We walk all the way through it, verse by verse. Well, this morning there's quite a few things that we're doing, so we're not going to try to walk through every verse in its full. We'll actually come back to Psalm 34 tonight and study it a little bit in a little further extent. But I want to focus on one thought, one theme this morning, and that is from verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And have you ever walked into a kitchen where something was cooking and you hadn't even seen it yet, but you knew what it was? Based on maybe your family experience or something that your mom had done or your grandmother had done on the holidays, and you just knew what it was, and all of your senses started to churn inside of you, and your desire was for it. I want that because I know that it's good. How many of you ever had that experience? You walked in and you wanted something. How many of you have ever had that experience? You walked in, you wanted something, only to find out it was a Yankee Candle. Anybody else like that? The worst experience ever is for chocolate cocoa, but it's wax, you know, or whatever it may be. And we have those experiences. Sometimes our senses let us down, but sometimes you smell something, you sense something, you see something that you want so good, you cannot wait to try it, to taste it, to experience it for yourself. Well, David wrote this psalm. David is the writer of this psalm. You see that in the title above verse number 1. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. So it even tells us about the circumstance of his life. So David's the one writing this psalm. And when he writes this psalm, he's inviting us to do something similar with God. The way that you would walk into your grandmother's kitchen or into your home after a day of work or whatever it may be. And maybe you put the crock pot on before you left and whatever it is. And you smell it. And as soon as you smell it, there's this desire to have it. But smelling it and seeing it is not the full extent of experiencing it. I'm thankful that when food smells good and looks good, there is one other element to it. And that is we get to try it, we get to taste it, we get to experience it. And David is inviting all of us, just like a delicious meal or a special treat, he is inviting us and saying, not only does this look good, not only does it sound good, not only does it smell good, you should try it. This is good. And I want us to think about that. We emphasized our kids and our youth today because I want us to be reminded that it's our responsibility as a church and as a church family and as adults and as parents and grandparents and mentors. Even if you don't have a kid sitting beside you this morning, even if one of the kids up here wasn't your own, we have a responsibility as a church to point our young people to the goodness of God. We don't have to make God good. He already is good. But we need to provide an opportunity and places, and by our lives and by our testimonies and what we say to them and how we treat them and what we bring them around. We need to, in our families and in the structure of our homes and within this church, create an experience. And I don't mean that in a trite way, but we, by our testimonies, need to show our young people God is good. You should try Him. God is so good. You should have some of this. God is good. You should walk with Him. And young people, I hope that you listen today because the sermon is not just for the old people or the adults in the room. Somebody told me this week at Vacation Bible School, they noted the gray on my hair and informed me how old I was getting. And then I told them I was 38 and they said I was older than they thought that I was. But whether you're young or old this morning, here's what I want us to note and remember. Number one, and we're just going to walk through the text quickly this morning, kind of different portions of it, but here's what I want you to notice. Number one, that God's goodness is real, and it is not just a story. God's goodness is not a fable that we read about, that we say, well, in Genesis, God was good, and in 1 Samuel, God was good, and over in the book of Acts, God is good, but I wonder if He's still good. We don't look at other people's lives and say, well, God is good to that person, or God is good to these people. God was good to that church in that time or in that era of history. No, God is good. And it's not just a story for us to hear. There's sometimes we hear about a piece of history, or we hear about a section of time, and we hear about it idealistically, and we say, oh, that'd be so nice. For me personally, it was when people could literally put their things in a wagon and go out west, and whatever they found, they could just claim it and have it, you know, certain amounts of it. It's like all the deer were still there, and elk, and mountains, and rivers, and you didn't have to talk to anyone. You could just be alone. Like, for me, that's the dream. I'm like, let's just do that. That sounds good, but that's just a story. Now, I can't do that anymore. That's something that I hear about. And you may have some. Now, I know that there's challenges to, you know they're like the whole Oregon Trail thing didn't end well for everyone. I understand that. Before you email me this week to tell me how bad it would be, I still would like to try it. But it's idealistic. It's something that was for somebody else at a different time in a different section of history. I don't get that experience anymore. I don't have that opportunity. But it's not that way with God's goodness. It's not that we look back and say, well, God is good and we're going to learn about the history of it from the Bible. No, God is good. Notice in these first three verses, there is this call to praise. I've given you an outline here in your notes. We're not really going to follow that this morning. That's for your own hopeful study as you look through Psalm 34 maybe this week. We'll look at it tonight, but we're going to note a couple things. Those first three verses, notice there's this call to praise God together, and that's what we've done. Kids, you guys did a great job today. You taught us about the armor of God while you sang. They learned about the armor of God on that first day at Vacation Bible School. It's a good reminder for us. And they praised the Lord together with us. They sang, Be Thou My Vision a moment ago. They shared with us sermons and ideas that they took from camp, and they have shared, and they've exalted God and praised Him together. But I want you to notice it says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now that sounds great on a psalm, Psalm 34, verse number 1. That sounds great. We're going to praise God at all times, continually. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. That sounds great, doesn't it? But who wrote the psalm? David wrote the psalm. And it tells us about, I want us to think about the experience, the moment David was in his life. When David is writing the psalm, it tells us it's when he had to fake or change his behavior in front of the king. And he faked this behavior in front of the king, and then he's sent away. Well, what is it talking about? Well, for review, most of us know a little bit about David. You kids have heard lessons about David, and you've been taught that in your Sunday school and as your class, as you've walked through. You know that David was a young shepherd boy who lived out and tended to sheep, and that God, even at a young age, began to work in David. We know from his own testimony and from the Psalms that even on those hillsides that God prepared and taught David. We know that he fought a lion and a bear as he was tending those sheep. You know, God used the young part of David's life to prepare him for everything else that was coming. And the same thing is true for our young people. God is working in your life right now. He's putting things into your life and into your home and into your parents and into this church to prepare you, not for someone else to walk with God, but for you to walk with God. So David is prepared for what challenges in his life by what God brings at a young age. We know he makes his way into battle against the Philistines, and that he fights that great giant. Kids, what was his name? You can holler it out. Goliath. And Goliath is from, does anybody remember what city Goliath is from? You can yell it out if you know it. Gath. Goliath is from Gath. And so David goes out, he conquers Goliath, and everyone sings his praises. David is then anointed king of Israel soon after, but he doesn't become king right away. There's a long time. There's this waiting time where he knows what he's supposed to do, but he's not even quite allowed to do it yet. And in that middle time, Saul, the current king, begins to chase him. He tries to kill him on multiple occasions. Even though David served Saul, Saul tried to kill him and he's betrayed. David ends up wandering out in the wilderness trying to get away from Saul. We know that he comes to a place called Nob, and David didn't always make good decisions. He talks to a priest there, and the priest says, David, what are you doing here? He says, I'm on a secret mission from the king, which was not true. It was a lie. And David says, can you feed me and my men? He had about 300 or 400 men with him. Can you feed me and my men? He said, I don't have anything to feed you except the showbread, which was for the sacrifice. He said, well, the king said I could have that. Well, the king didn't say that either. So David lied. They help David. David moves on. And then Saul comes in and commands that all those priests and all their families and all their livestock be killed. So David's bad decision and David's lie ends up getting people hurt, which I know would have hurt his own heart. He realized he had made a mistake. And so David runs and he flees. And long story short, he comes to a city called Gath. Who was from Gath? Do we remember? Goliath. And it seems like David may have thought this through, or maybe he didn't. He shows up at Gath and knocks on the door. Now, one of the biggest giants in the world, one of the most fierce warriors of the region at the time, David knocks on the door. Well, what do you think they do? They realize that it's David. David realizes he's made a mistake. It's Goliath's family's all there. This is where Goliath grew up. It's where he's from. He was their champion warrior. David is their enemy. And so David realizes he's made a mistake. And the Bible tells us that in that moment that David decides he's going to pretend like he's lost his mind. He starts to babble. He scratches at the door. He hollers and shouts in the streets. It says spittle and stuff out of his mouth was running down his beard. It's a pretty nasty scene. And they look over the top and the king looks over and it's like, he couldn't even bring himself to capture and take David. This is an insane man. Just send him away. A humiliating experience for the man that's supposed to soon become the king of Israel. The man that killed Goliath, the man that trusted God as a shepherd, is now pretending to be crazy in front of all these people. He's sent away. He says he goes and hides in a cave with those 300 or 400 men. Now, there's a few of us in the room this morning, but imagine, turn off all the lights and pack 400 of us in this room, and we're going to live in here for however many days. It's not a comfortable experience. It's not the Ramada or the Hilton Inn. You know, this is not a good situation. That's where David is when he writes Psalm 34. He's just pretended to be an insane man with spit running down his face, and now he's living in a cave with 300 to 400 other outlaws who owe debt to everybody else, and people are looking for them, trying to kill him. Now, read verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble, those that are lowly, shall hear thereof and be glad. David realizes that even though the circumstance in his life is not good, that his God still is. And parents and grandparents and church, you know what we should do? The example that we should set for our kids is that though life is not always good, God is. And so when there is a struggle, when there is something that is stressful, when we have done something shameful, excuse me, when we have made a mistake, when things are not as comfortable as we would like them to be, when we're not in the circumstance that we had hoped that we were going to be in, even in that moment, we will bless the Lord at all times. Because sometimes when we go through struggle, we pray to God in silence, but we forget to praise the Lord for His goodness. Notice verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. He invites them. David doesn't go to just try to live his spiritual life on his own. He invites them. He says, look, I know that this circumstance may not be a great circumstance, but God is still worthy of our praise. And sometimes our testimony to our young people as parents and as individuals, and even as a church, do you know that how you live your life, not just within these walls, but as church people, the church is people, and how we live our lives is a testimony for what we think about God. How we live our lives shows whether we trust God. How we live our lives shows whether God is worthy of praise. And we wonder sometimes why it is that young people will stray off. We sometimes take the responsibility off of our own selves. We dust ourselves off. Well, they should have kept following God. Well, maybe they should have, but maybe they should have seen God more clearly as well from the adults that were around them in their lives. Young people, God is good. And it is not just a story. I want you to look at the second thing, because here is where the responsibility comes back to you. Notice David gives a personal testimony. I think that that's important. In verse 4 through 7, David says, I'm going to praise the Lord, but it comes out of personal testimony. It comes out of his life. Let these young people know you. When's the last time you talk with some of them? I know that sometimes They go in over at kids' class and then they come out. But we have adults that pour into them on Sunday evenings sometimes and in the mornings in those classes. But if you see them in the parking lot, they come over. We're going to try to schedule this next year five or six times during the year where we have our young people in like we have today. Speak to them. Talk to them. Ask about their lives. Tell them about your life. David says, I can tell you personally. He says, he invites them in verse 3, magnify God with me. Let's exalt God together. Why? Verses 4 through 7, he says, because I've seen him do amazing things. He saved me. He's rescued me. He heard me. He saved me out of my troubles. And that brings me to number 2. You have to taste God for yourself, though. It has to become yours. Young people or young adults and children in the room and your age, David says, oh, taste and see. He doesn't say, God tastes good. Just trust me. He doesn't say, God is good. Take it from me. He says, God is good. Taste and see. That word or that phrase together is an invitation to experience. You should get to know the God that I know. You should walk the way that I have, not because it's my example, but because I have found God to be so, so good. Are we a church this morning? Are we parents? Are we people? Are we grandparents? Are we mentors? Are we adults that communicate with our lives, our conversations, our priorities, our goals, what we set out as important or not? Do we communicate to the next generation that we've tasted and seen that God is good and that's what we want for them? I want you to look at this verse in verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world, right? He loved the whole world. That he gave his only begotten son. So the sacrifice is for everyone. God loved the world that whosoever believeth in him. Now that word, it gets very specific. God loves the world, but there's individuals that must come and trust him. God is good to all of us. God has created this world and he's put beautiful things in it. God sent his son for the world. He loves the world. He died for all. And yet he calls us and gives us responsibility, not just to associate with things that are like him, not just to associate with him, but to come to him personally. And this is a message not just for young people to say, hey, young people, you come taste and see that God is good. This is something we want for everybody, even the adults in the room. Sometimes we don't taste and see that God's good because we live through everybody else. We show up on Sunday morning, we sing some songs, we hear a sermon, and we go home. And we remain unchanged because we don't personally walk with God. And the invitation in Psalm 34 is for all of us. You come taste and see that the Lord is good. Your parents can't taste it for you. Your church can't taste it for you. Your pastor can't taste it for you. Don't just sit by and watch and listen. Don't just be a part of it. Don't just be around Christian things. Don't just be around godly stuff. Walk with God yourself. That's David's invitation to us. He says, walk with God, not because he's become a millionaire, not because he's become king and he's powerful, not because God gives him everything he wants. He says, walk with God because you will find nothing else like him. You have to taste for yourself. I'm going to do a little illustration. We're going to look at one last point. To have a couple volunteers. I need 3 or 4 volunteers. Barrett's hand I saw first. Yeah, why don't you come, Shelby, come on up. Oh, no, I confused you too, didn't I? No, that is... Yeah, you come on. You guys are looking alike today, and I couldn't tell which one was which. You guys coming up to have 1 or 2 others. It can be an adult if you want it to be. Remy, you can come on up. I saw your hand. Did I see anybody else? Oh, I saw Gavin. Did I see your hand go up? Or were you stretching at an inopportune moment? Come on up. All right. So here's what I want you to do. I want you each take this glass of water. I want you to have it. And I want you to look at it. Hold it up in the light. There's no floaties in it. Right? Smell it. Just... Right? Okay. Now, don't take a big gulp, but just a small sip. And then tell us what you think. delicious? It tastes like salt water. That's because it is salt water. That's good. That's good. Okay. Now, I'm going to help cleanse your palate. Take this one. Take this one. I'm going to be nice to you eventually. Try this one. Try this one. Now, smell it. Because now you're never going to trust me. All right? Smell it. What does it smell like? You can tell everybody. What's it smell like?
Grape juice.
Grape juice, Kool-Aid. I'm too cheap for grape juice. It's Kool-Aid for sure. Okay. Now, not a big gulp, but a sip. See what you think. I didn't lie to you. It is grape Kool-Aid. It just has no sugar in it. All right, all right. So you've tasted that one. You've tasted that one. Good. I'll take those. Now you can come grab a cookie. Now they're never going to trust me again. I'm going to try to reward you. Grab one of the cookie slices. You can smell it. You can touch it. It feels like a cookie, right? Pull it apart and examine if you want to. Okay, now you can taste it. Hopefully it's a decent cookie. What do you think? Okay, now, if I were to give you the choice, if I was going to give you the choice, and to your seat, you either get to take back your cup of salt water, your non-sweetened grape juice, or a whole cookie, which one are you going to choose? You're going to choose a cookie? You can take one if you want and take it back to your seat. Just don't crush it into the floor. Just hold it. In fact, you can take it that way. There you go. All right. Thank you, guys. Oh, you know, you're good. You're good with that. All right. So what do we see in our illustration, right? Other than that, I'm now on Remy's hit list. What do we see in that small illustration? All right. Everybody see it? They could not know whether it was good or not until they actually tasted it for themselves. Other people could tell them, this is what you should have, this is what you should try. But until they tried it for themselves, they couldn't have it. Now, a couple challenges for us as a church this morning. How silly would it have been for them to try the salt water? Oh, no, that's bad. To try the unsweetened Kool-Aid? Oh, that's bad. To try the cookie, know that it's good, but then say, I'd rather have this. They're not going to do that, right? But sometimes we as parents and grandparents and as church members and as adults, we've tasted at moments in our lives, we've tasted and seen that God is good. But we prioritize the stuff that's not so good. We keep kind of going back and picking up the junk at times. And we sip it, and our face tells us, and our lives and our response to life tells us, this is not satisfying. This is not good. It does not quench my thirst. It is not helpful. But it is what we're going to center our lives around. And that doesn't make any sense. And as a church and as people, do we prioritize the right things? Do we portray to others how good God really is? And young people, let me call you. Don't just trust what someone else says about God. Experience God for yourself. He is good. Brings us to the last thing. How do you taste and see? He gives us a few verbs. You guys have listened well. Kids, you've listened well. If you circle or mark in your Bible, I want you to notice, right after he tells us to taste and see that God is good, same sentence, he goes on, he starts to give us a few things. You can mark a couple words. It says, blessed is the man, notice this word, that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth. You can mark that word trust. Verse number 9, oh, fear the Lord. You can mark that word fear, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But notice this, but they that, here's the next word, seek the Lord, shall not want any good thing. So I want you to think about this morning. How do you taste and see that God is good? Now, you can come to a service and we can sing, there is a fountain filled with blood. We can sing, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. We can praise. We can pray. We can be all sitting here together and joyful and happy. This could be a great day. It's Youth Sunday. We've watched a Vacation Bible School. But let me just tell you, young people, that's just the smell. That's just a little bit of a sense of God's goodness. We can gather each week and hear a sermon and be stirred. And maybe that's like seeing it. I see that the cookies are there. I smell them just a little bit. I have a decent sense that someone around me has experienced and knows that God is good, but I haven't tasted it for myself. You don't taste and see that God is good on Sunday morning. Though there will be an element of that, you taste Him in your daily life when you first notice, trust Him. Trust means to take refuge or shelter in, to declare dependence or faith in. Let me ask you this, what are we teaching? Our young people have been in here this morning. What are we teaching them to trust the most? What are we telling them will shelter them? What do we tell them? Hey, as long as you have this, life's going to be okay. As long as you have this, life is going to take care of you. As long as you have this kind of job or this kind of degree or this kind of thing, as long as you order yourself in this way, as long as you do these deeds and actions, as long as you have this certain look or this certain demeanor about you, you're going to be okay in this world. All those things are good and can be taught. Certain things can be taught from Scripture. No, no, no. Taste and see. Trust God. He will be the one that never lets you down. Trust Him. Notice the next thing. Fear Him. Fear is to revere or stand in awe of God. Let me ask you this. What are we teaching our children to reverence? What are we teaching them to fear? What are we teaching them to look at and say, oh, that's what's most important? You see that in verse number 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, for there is no want. Notice it says the young lions do lack. There's a lot of discussion about what that means. Most male young lions die within their first year and a half of age because they get pushed out of the pride, or because they go out and launch out, seek things on their own. Or maybe he's just saying here, look, even strong young lions have need, but the ones that, notice, seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God has never left any of us hopeless. God has never left any of us alone. Our lives may have struggled. Our lives may have had difficulty. But young people, listen to this. There's not an adult in this room that God has abandoned. You'll never find one. And He will not abandon you. So seek after the Lord. Trust Him. Fear Him. Seek Him. How do I do that? You can't do any of those three things without His Word. Without learning what He says and learning what He wants and obeying and following those things. Because notice, what does somebody look like that has tasted the Lord? It's interesting, right? Do they have a giant smile? Do they rub their tummy like after a good meal? Notice these verses, and we'll be done. Verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Someone that has tasted the Lord speaks differently. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Someone that has tasted God lives differently. Seek peace and pursue it. Someone that has really tasted the goodness of God relates to others differently. Isn't that interesting? Do our lives reflect that we have tasted God's goodness? What do you speak about? And I don't mean do you use bad four-letter words or some conglomeration of profanity. I mean, do you speak kindness? Do you speak with love? Do you speak with joy? Do you speak wholesome and good and pure things to one another? Notice, do you live differently? Depart from evil. Do good. You seek the Lord. Seek peace and pursue it. Have you tasted and seen that God is good? I'll close with this thought or this illustration. Are you tasting the goodness and seeing the goodness of God? Does your life display to others how good God is? And are we a church that magnifies God or other things? So let me close with this illustration. We all get invited to the biggest meal, a big gourmet meal at a restaurant that 99% of us couldn't afford. Let's just say it's that. It's a world-renowned chef. And we get invited in. Let's just say there's five of us from the church get invited for whatever reason. We all get invited. We go sit down. It's a dark room and a spotlit table. The ambience is beautiful. And they start to bring us meal by meal and course by course the most wonderful, well-prepared, the best-tasting food you could ever imagine. Somehow they know your palate, and they bring the food for you, and they start to lay it out, and everyone starts to eat and talk. It's a good meal. It's enjoyable, and they try it, and you sit with your hands folded, and you look, oh, wow. You know, look at the swirl they put on that. I wonder what type of cheese this is. You know, the dressing must be homemade, and we talk about it with them. We talk about how great it is. This is wonderful. This is awesome. You know, this is, oh, and they bring the next course. This is so perfect. You know, like how it's plated and laid out. Oh, man, the smell is amazing. But you just sit there with your hands folded. The smell is amazing. You watch everyone else eat and you're enjoying it with them and participating in every way except for eating it. And they bring you course after course and they bring you the best steak they could find in the whole world. And they do not burn it. They make it medium rare-ish, which is about where it should be if it's a decent quality, in my opinion. If you got it medium well, then they kicked you out of that gourmet dinner, and then they invited everyone else back in. But they bring you this steak. You're sitting there with your hands full. You sit there for 3 hours, and they eat, and everyone finishes, and they lean back at the table. Oh, wasn't that so good? And you stand up, and you're walking out to your car, and you put your arms around the fellow dinner guests. You say, that was the best meal. It was incredible. We're going to be talking about this for years. And finally, they just turn around and go, what are you talking about? You didn't do any of that with it. You didn't actually taste any of it. It wasn't yours. It's not your experience to talk about. You can be in and around church. You can be singing on Sunday morning. You can be around God's stuff, but not ever actually have tasted. But there's coming a day when you must be held accountable. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Would you bow your head with me? This morning, you've listened well. I'm thankful our young people were in here today. A little different type of service and message. Adults, many of us have tasted and seen that God is good. But some of us have not lived our lives recently where we keep tasting. We've tried Him once. We made a decision at a revival service, or we walk with God at a closer way at a different time in our lives. And we know what it was like. We know what it was like to taste and see that God is good. But right now in your daily life, you're apart from Him. You've prioritized other things that you know that they don't taste as good and satisfy. But it's what your world or the job or stress or just the way of life has demanded that you give your focus and attention to. I wonder this morning, would you taste and see that the Lord is good? Young people, you may be here this morning, maybe you're in high school, maybe you're in elementary school, maybe college age, and you've been around God's stuff. You've been in kids' classes, you've been other places. My prayer for you today is not that you just hear about how good God is. It's not just a story. That you would taste and see that God is good. That you would open His Word with your parents and with your families. And that you'd walk through it. You'd obey it. That you'd experience life. And know that when you walk with God, there is nothing like it. And I pray that that be your spirit this morning. If God's worked in your heart and you respond to Him this morning, are you tasting and seeing that the Lord is good? Let's stand and sing together. I'll ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, thank You for Your mercy. Would You turn our eyes to You, our attention and focus. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As you stand, let's sing together. Oh, soul.